This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Well, hey, everybody, I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, and I'm excited to introduce the conversation that you're about to hear. This is a topic that I think is going to shock and surprise a lot of fellow eye care providers out there who have really embraced and utilized tea tree oil-based products in their practice. We've seen so many papers and reports about the prevalence of Demodex and its potential association with blepharitis and ocular rosacea and chronic eyelid irritation. And tea tree oil-based products have almost become ubiquitous in eyelid-based cleansers and makeup removers. This topic, though, there's a new research that's been published, and we're about to hear from the researchers behind this, Dr. David Sullivan and Dr. D. Chen. They wrote a paper where they looked at the effects of the active ingredient in tea tree oil, terpenin-4 oil. And not only is it toxic to Demodex cells, come to find out, it's also toxic to corneal epithelium cells, meibomian gland cells, conjunctival cells, and other research has shown that tea tree oil concentrations also have major effects on the endocrine system and can affect endocrine hormone productions. So, yes, thank you so much for joining us today. I'd like to start by shouting out the name of this study, because we're going to be linking it, of course. But if you guys want to read this afterwards, it's called The Effects of Terpenin-4 Oil on Meibomian Gland Epithelial Cells in Vitro. And just to kind of kick this off, Dr. Chen, what made you interested in asking this question about what potential side effects tea tree oil might cause on the meibomian glands?
I used to be a clinic, and we use tea tree oil, the scraps, to the patients with blepharitis if we suspected there is a Demodex infection. And then I go to David's lab to do some basic research, and we have got those meibomian gland cells. And one day that David read a paper about that tea tree oil can cause like estrogen and some effect. It has some effects on the hormones of human cells. So we want to test that, whether it will have the effect on same effect on the meibomian gland cells, because I know a lot of clinic doctors now use that tea tree oil products in human eyelids, and we don't know its effects. I know it can kill the Demodex, but we don't know its effects on the human cells. So I know, why don't we test this on those cells, we see what it can do, whether it will have the effect on the hormonal effects like in other cells. Then, but to our surprise, it killed those cells. So we didn't do those following results on the hormonal like estrogen or estrogen that effects, just the cells just died. But I understand because if it can kill the Demodex, it means it have a biotoxicity. Then it makes sense that it can kill those cells in vitro studies. So David, you know the story.
I know you mentioned you were working in David's lab, and Dr. David Sullivan, you need no introduction when it comes to the field of eye care. You're the founder and past president of the Tear Film Ocular Surface Society. But tell us a little bit about this lab that you have and how these ideas and research are getting generated.
So for the past almost 40 years, I ran a laboratory at the Scape and Zeye Research Institute in Harvard Medical School. And our focus is in the ocular surface, particularly since my training, when I was recruited there a long time ago before you were born, my training was in physiology, endocrinology, and immunology. And a lot of our research had to do with sex differences and the prevalence of disease, but looked at many other factors in terms of ocular surface and the regulation of the tissues. And for, about 25 years, we've been looking at one of the areas, the meibomian gland, because almost nothing was known about this tissue. And Over the years, we've had many postdoctoral fellows. Dee, who's now an attending ophthalmologist at the number one, I think, medical center for ophthalmology in China, came for a year to spend in the laboratory. She was involved in many projects, one of which was this. And so what we do is promote people working on projects together with others, but also projects that they really like and are very interested in. And so this is a project that Dee had brought up, and we did it. I should also note that because it linked into endocrinology, and tea tree oil is an endocrine disruptor, meaning specifically, about 30 to 50% of the tea tree oil is terpenin 4-ol. It's called T4O. And T4O and tea tree oil, it's been shown to have significant estrogen activity and very definite anti-androgen activity. And that is not good for the meibomian gland, because estrogens typically suppress sebaceous gland function and androgens promote it. What you're doing there with tea tree oil is what you don't want to do. So we thought it would be really worthwhile to look into see what this does to the meibomian gland. And Dee also did studies looking at human corneal epithelial cells and human conjunctival epithelial cells. They weren't published in the paper, but just as one add-on, 1% tea tree oil has been published and shown to kill Demodex in about 88 minutes. Dee showed that 1% tea tree or terpenin 4-ol can kill all the human meibomian gland epithelial cells, all the human corneal epithelial cells, and all the human conjunctival epithelial cells in 90 minutes. So you wipe out the little bugs, but you also wipe out everything else.
This is really, reading this, I was such a shock to me, because we're using it at concentrations in clinical care at much higher than that 1% even, and not talking about any potential side effects on the ocular surface when we're using it at that potent levels. So you mentioned that 1%, which is the lowest concentration of terpenin 4-ol that's been shown to kill Demodex. It was killing meibomian gland cells, corneal epithelial cells, conjunctival cells. Why do you think that doctors don't necessarily see those effects or recognize those effects in clinical care, that they're killing other cells at the same time?
Dee?
Yeah. Because I think in China right now, it's not, we use that just in for 3 months to kill the Demodex, and we just as most of doctors just don't know it has the effects on the human's cell ocular surface. It has toxicity, and I think at the same time, because we did these studies, the in vitro study and in right human bodies, I think most of the patients, if they have Demodex, they already have some ocular surface damage, and we don't know whether it's caused by the blepharitis itself or by the tea tree oil. We need to do more like clinical study to evaluate the toxicity, because we just don't have that, those data, whether it's caused, the ocular surface damage was caused by the disease itself or by the tea tree oil. We just needed to do some clinical observation to get more detailed, like more scientific conclusions, I think.
I think another factor too is that these studies, again, as Dee said, are in vitro. However, if you look at 2 to 4% application to the ocular surface, the permeation, terpenin 4-ol is called a sort of a permeation enhancer. It increases the delivery of things. It interacts with the outer surface of the skin, binds to the lipids, and disrupts it. And you're going to get about 0.2% of that into the tissue, and then you're going to retain about 0.02%. So what Dee had found is that if you get 0.2% of that, now no longer 2, but 0.2, within 24 hours, you have significantly wiped out a lot of the meibomian gland cells. And at 0.02%, after 5 days, you've knocked out a whole lot of them as well. I should note that the American Academy of Ophthalmology recommends in their website that And these are things from Schaefer Sang, that typically a daily scrub with 50% tea tree oil and lid massage with 5% will take care of Demodex. But there are almost no clinical studies looking at the impact of these things on the eye and what we know about the endocrine effects of these. And it's not just it's 0.025% acts like an estrogen, and 0.005%, that's really tiny amount, is an anti-androgen. You don't want this. It's also been found in endocrine studies, and these have been known for years. And I remember when I was recruited from endocrinology into ophthalmology or the eye care area, people say, well, you know, we know about thyroid hormones, we know about corticosteroids, but what else is important for the eye? The thing is that these are really important. And for tea tree oil, there are case studies out there where you put it on little boys and you develop gynecomastia. Why? Because of the estrogen effects. You don't want this. When you start looking at doses of 0.1 to 0.2%, you induce antibiotic resistance. You don't want these effects. So as Dee said, we need more clinical studies to look at what are people doing. And I realize it's a moneymaker. You got to pay for the company. You got to pay for the clinic. You got to keep things going. And there are a lot of companies that are making these tea tree oil products. Mm-hmm. But we need to know more about what they do in vivo to humans. So caution needs to be exercised and repeatedly giving these things.
I think, you know, obviously right now, holistic beauty, organic beauty is majorly trending. And for the past couple of years, we've really seen that on the marketplace. And the idea of tea tree oil, it sounds very natural. It sounds like something safe. And it's so prevalent in over-the-counter products. But I think what shocked me reading this study is, while I was not aware of any of these side effects that you're mentioning about toxicity to human cells and endocrine issues, it has been reported. It is known the dangers involved. In fact, 2002, the European Cosmetic Toiletry and Perfumery Administration wrote that tea tree oil should not be used in cosmetic products in any way that results in a concentration greater than 1% oil being applied to the body. So this is from nearly 20 years ago, and yet it's taken a stronghold in the marketplace as a safe and natural product. And that's concerning that these issues were known about for so long, but it's still being marketed as a completely safe and used.
Yes, I understand there is, but it's still on the market, so we can still use it. But I think in daily practice, we need to balance the benefits and harms. It may kill the Demodex, but we have to also pick the appropriate patients. Not all the patients with Demodex infection should get tea tree oil treatment. If it's really the disease is caused by the Demodex, or it has many, many Demodex, it may use, and then the patient get more benefits from the tea tree oil than the harm they do. Then we may suggest the patients to buy the Demodex tea tree oil scraps. But if it just only have like one or two Demodex infection, they may not be overused, I think, the tea tree oil. It's just I think in practice, our doctors maybe should more cautious to what to use, to which patient to select the appropriate patient groups to use and the benefits, the harms and benefits. I think that's what we doctors should make the decision, because patients don't know whether they just follow our suggestion. And I think right now we just need to to pick up which patient can get more benefits from the tea tree oil scraps. It really can kill Demodex. And some patients really say that it feels much better when you use the tea tree oil scraps. But some patients is just only have a little, I mean, they may not to overuse those scraps. I mean, not every patient with blepharitis should be suggested to use those tea tree oil, because it may do harms to them than the benefits. I think that's what I'm thinking.
Should also note too that the concentrations that are used to kill Demodex are known, and 1/10 those concentrations, 1/100 those concentrations It's not unique for the eye, for the meibomian gland cells. It's not unique for corneal conjunctival cells. But just a note here in reading, it's also known those concentrations to kill liver cells, cervical epithelial cells, breast epithelial cells, T cells, B cells, bone marrow cells, as well as fibroblasts and peripheral blood monocytes. And you consider too that for Demodex, that other procedures, so we're lacking a lot of clinical studies to look at this and what it does to the eye and analyses. But then some other considerations. If you're just looking to kill the Demodex, we know that microblepharoexfoliation or IPL, or even with Jenny Craig's Manuka honey, they can all kill Demodex too, but they're not going to be wiping out these other cells. So it's something to consider. And I think there are more studies recently looking at intense pulse light therapy as a potential treatment. And these also act on Demodex. But to throw that out, another thing is, why are we killing those little bugs? What do they do? And I know they're really active at night, and they make little babies at nighttime while you're sleeping, and they're frolicking and having fun, and Bacchus is alive and well. But what are they doing? What is the evidence that they cause, for example, MGD? I know that D has published that they can have some ocular surface effects, but others have done studies looking at patients who have MGD or no MGD, both with Demodex, and there are no effects on the meibomian gland specifically. There's almost a complete lack of data out there in terms of, does Demodex have any effect on the meibomian gland? And I know that when we published the TFOS International Workshop on Meibomian Gland Dysfunction, we chose not to include information about Demodex because there was simply no evidence indicating that it causes MGD. So we see this huge amount of information out there. Hey, use this stuff. Kill those little buggies and correct your meibomian gland. The data aren't there.
And okay, if we think that getting rid of Demodex is important, there are other treatment options than tea tree oil that we can accomplish this with. You mentioned IPL, Manuka honey. That's something that is in that same kind of organic beauty, more natural approach. But you're saying not known to have any sort of cellular human cell issues. And so it might be an alternative approach if we were looking for something in a lid cleanser or eyelid hygiene product. But as far as I know, I have not seen any company offering that yet in the ocular healthcare space. Everything right now is really focused on tea tree oil.
Yeah, tea tree oil comes from a New Zealand plant originally, I think. And Jenny Craig out in Auckland has been doing the studies with Manuka honey. But the exfoliation, as well as the IPL, there have been more articles written about that as an alternative treatment. If, and maybe Dee can comment on this, if it's important to get rid of those bugs. Dee, what do you think? You know, when you think of the microbiome as well, the bacteria help you. So it plays devil's advocate. Is it really important to get rid of those little bugs?
Yeah, because we know the Demodex is, the prevalence of Demodex is really high in normal people. Like there is a study show that the prevalence rate is around 40%. And in our own clinic, we did some studies around 39.4, even in patients without symptoms. Especially the prevalence rate got higher when in the elderly patients, and like in patients like more than like 90 years old, there the prevalence rate of Demodex infection is nearly 100%. So they don't have symptoms. So I think it needs like a more clinical study to distinguish the patients which need to kill those bugs, because some patients just get along well with those bugs and they don't have symptoms. I think there's immunology reaction to those bugs. It's just not the direct, some may have direct damages, but some more of the, it's the immunology reaction. Some patients are more like sensitive or have a more like, the reaction is very intense for when they got infected by those Demodex or the byproducts of the Dermotex. And some patients can have no reaction to those infestation. And in China, we have a consensus. We get like 3 eyelashes, and if we find more than 3 bugs in those 3 eyelashes, and the patient has some like irritation, like symptoms, and has some those you can see the dandruff, can see those, then we treat the patients. If we only find Dermotex and the patient has no symptoms and we found no signs, and we don't treat those Dermotex.
But can you also note that I think that so far the data indicate the Dermotex is associated with anterior blepharitis. That's different in the collarettes. That's different from posterior blepharitis, which is typically follows up on MGD. And so it's distinct. And again, that was a reason why it was not included in the TFOS MGD workshop report, because posterior blepharitis typically follows MGD, but anterior blepharitis, which has the bugs, is not MGD.
Yeah.
I want to get your personal opinions as leaders in this field. In talking to you guys, if we have a symptomatic patient with anterior blepharitis and known Dermotex association, there's a risk-benefit potential discussion there where if we may consider a tea tree oil treatment, even knowing about these potential risks. How concerning, though, is it to you that a lot of these products are being used as like a daily makeup remover, for example? Yes.
Go ahead, Lee.
Used in makeup removal. Yeah, it's like another topic. Like I think David has a lot to say. It's like it's in the cosmetic toxicity to the. It's not just tea tree oil. It has a lot toxic to the human bodies. Other than tea tree oil, just we have to alarm the users about those toxicity, and it's their choice, I think.
Yeah, a lot of the cosmetics today are, we've done a number of studies looking at cosmetic preservatives in the laboratory, and it's incredible the effect of these things. A number of these too are also endocrine disruptors, and it reflects the fact that so little of these ingredients are controlled or checked by the Food and Drug Administration in our country. In Europe, many of these are blocked, but in the United States, they're not blocked. And so what people, women, men, put around their face, their body, their eyes specifically, containing these things, these are not good. When you consider as people get older, they end up being more susceptible to all sorts of problems, including various ocular surface problems and dry eye disease being one. And some of these things can just push you over. And some of these preservatives, when you throw them alone without even tea tree oil, are really damaging to the human cornea, the conjunctiva, and the meibomian gland cells. And again, studies aren't being done on these. And when we do them, it's remarkable. When you consider also, just to follow up, since Dee brought up cosmetics, when you think about in 2007, we published the TFOS DEWS report. And at that time, Christophe Baudouin from France said the greatest discovery we had made up to that date was learning that benzalkonium chloride should be taken out of everything that's put on the eye because it damages the ocular surface. You got to get the drugs out there to treat glaucoma, but it's nasty. In mascara, a lot of the preservatives that are used are benzalkonium chloride, thousands of times higher concentration than needed to wipe out every meibomian gland epithelial cell you have ever made, your children might ever make, your great-great-grandchildren might ever make. And it's just nasty, and there's no control over this stuff. And for tea tree oil, I realize that the concentrations are typically 2-4%. When you get higher, up to 50%, you know, this may not be, you know, politically correct to mention it here, but if you've ever smelled tea tree oil, it's vile. And I remember asking at a European vision and eye research meeting in Nice in France, somebody giving a talk about tea tree oil, oh, just slap it on up there. And I said, you know, this would be a great thing to use for birth control, because once you put it all over your eyes or your body, nobody's going to be able to sleep next to you. And so the stuff is really nasty smelling as well. But whatever the case, it just underscores the fact that we need to know more about these products that are used frequently. And as eye care practitioners, again, the key is caution. What are you using? Why are you using it? And what do we know? I know it makes money for companies and they push it and inducements are made, but geez, what are you doing to people's eyes?
A lot of food for thought on this episode. And I know what's great about this research is it raises so many more questions to ask. Mm-hmm. And I think we're in great hands with researchers like you guys asking these tough questions, going against the trends in eye care and exploring things that might change the way we look at things, but that's how we're gonna move forward and be better. And now knowing this information, like you said, as eye care providers, we need to be more aware of what we might be recommending in the past. Now we know more that we can't just make these blanket recommendations of using these products on a regular basis. And we might need to start, you know, rethinking how quick we are to jump on trends in whether it's a beauty discussion or ocular healthcare discussion, just because it seems to be in everything right now. If we don't really know what it's doing, we may want to take a step back and rethink that.
Yes, I agree. I think we have to be more responsible for our decision we make and to put the patient's interest in the first place, not just to let them. We have to do more. I don't know how to say it. Just you have to balance the benefits and harms. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate this idea that you had for this research topic, and I know it's going to lead to a lot more discussions. And thank you so much, Dr. Solomon, for all that you're doing to really carefully, with much thought and consideration, move the field of dry eye forward. And we appreciate all the hard work that goes into that.
So Jen, thanks very much. And Dee, thank you very much, too.
Thank you.
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars and make sure you follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.